Mountains of Mecca, what can you say of the day that Abraham passed your way? And he was instructed by God to build a house of peace where people will pray. And they will come on every lean camel and out of every ravine for the purpose of praising Allah, to glorify Allah. O mountains of Mecca, what can you tell of the day that stones from the sky fell, destroying an army determined to break the house of Allah that Abraham built? O mountains of Mecca.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaykum, peace be unto you, welcome to another episode of The Deen Show. We're going to be broadcasting live all over the Hajj. This is the fifth pillar of Islam. You've testified that there's none worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and earth, and Muhammad is his last and final messenger. You've established the Salat, pay the charity. Now you're fasting during the month of Ramadan. Now look at this. It's time to gather with the black and the white, yellow. If there were purple people, they'd be here also worshiping the one God. How amazing. Where else do people like this gather from all around the world? Nobody's coming here to worship a black box in the desert. They're coming here to do the same ritual as Abraham did, as Moses and all the messengers of God did. So now, we're going to be with our guest, Sheikh Yusuf Estes. We're going to be taking you and showing you some of the different events that are going on around here in Mecca. So, you want to stay tuned, sit tight. We're going to be live all over Mecca, bringing you the Hajj, only on the Deen Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. That's right, that's what we're going to be saying just in a little while as we approach the Kaaba when we get to the Haram in Mecca for the pilgrimage, Hajj. We're really excited about this opportunity to be all together for this great event, once in the lifetime of the Muslim when they're able to afford it and able to go. What we want to do in our program today is to emphasize the ease of the Hajj. Allah says in the Quran, فَإِنَّمَا عُسْرِ يُسْرَ إِنَّمَا عُسْرِ يُسْرَ. He's telling us how after difficulties there's ease. Certainly this is something to reflect on when we talk about performing the Hajj, because there are difficulties from the very beginning when we think, oh, how will I do this? Where will I get the money? How will I take care of things? Who will take care of my family while I'm away? So many things come into my mind. But remember, Allah wants for you yusra, not usr. He wants for you ease. And that's what He said in the Quran. Let us think about it now. All right, alhamdulillah, somehow we could get the money together. Somehow we got the time off from work. And now here we are. We went to the airport. We stood in the crowd. So many people. We got our tickets, baggage checked. Ah, seems like a headache, and we didn't even get in the airplane. Alhamdulillah. Finally, now we're in the plane. Alhamdulillah. Can we believe it? We're on our way, going all the way to Saudi Arabia for the Hajj. Allahu Akbar. But it's not over. It's just beginning. Yeah, what's next? Well, before you reach the Miqat, this is the boundaries. There's a boundary that you must put the ihram on before you get to it, because if you wait too long, you've got a problem, because you'd have to go way out to be able to put on the ihram. So what we'll do, kind of get ahead of everybody else, is we're going to take the ihram. Let's have that over here now. Let's take a look at the ihram. What is ihram? It comes from the word haram. It means forbidden. Because when you are in a state of ihram, many things you mustn't do. The haram, that's the place where we're going to be, where the Kaaba is, that also comes from the word haram. Everything in the Kaaba is haram, to kill anything, to step on the bugs, haram to take anything, you leave everything as it is. So it means it's very critical for you to follow what Islam is allowing you to do. You got some narrow boundaries in here. And the same is true when you go Allahu Akbar for your prayer. That's called a state of ihram. And this is the takbiratul haram, like this. It means, now, while I'm in salah, of course, I can't talk to people, I can't eat, I can't drink. Certainly, I shouldn't fall asleep. All of these things become haram. also you don't turn around and walk away in the prayer. This is something that you know common sense tells you these things are haram. Well, that's what we're getting ready to do now. This is ihram. These two towels that I hold up right here, this is all I'm going to be wearing in a few minutes. Yep, that's right. Whenever a man, now women, they can just wear their regular clothes, but when a man's ready to be in the state of ihram, that means that he's going to remove all of his clothes and only have these two towels on. We'll see about that. Now, when we do this, there has to be something done before anything else. It's called the niyyah, the intention. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us in the amal bin niyyah, that before every action there must be intention, because all the actions will be only by intention. So we make the intention or the niyyah for Allah, and we ask Allah to accept from us, of course, and I say I'm going to perform my Hajj. Now there are three major types of Hajj that we do. Now I'll make my intention now. This means I'm going to put on the ihram now, and of course I'll go into the restroom to do that, and then we'll be attired like this for the rest of this journey all the way to land. And when we'll be landing, we'll be wearing this, and when we get there, what we're going to do, we'll go through the customs and things, so you have to do that, and then we'll also go with the brothers. They'll pick us up in Jeddah, and then they'll take us on out. We'll go to Mecca. When we get to Mecca now, what we'll do is we'll do a tawaf. That means we'll do 7 circumambulations around the Kaaba. And then after that, we'll pray 2 rak'ah by Ibrahim's station. Then following that, we'll do 7 going back and forth sa'i between the mount called As-Safa and Al-Marwa. Safa and Marwa. We'll go between them 7 times. Then following that, we have a lot of dua in there, which you will see inshallah in the program. Then we cut some hair and finish. That's the Umrah. Now we'll go back to the hotel where we're staying. We'll change to our regular clothes, and then we'll be back with you telling you more of that as we go. We'll put this back on then for the Hajj. That's how it works. So let's get it started now. I'm going to go do that right now. Oops. I have to take the seatbelt off first. Ready. You can't go in here with me. Well, that didn't take very long, did it? And you can see that I have on the 2 pieces of ihram now. This is the upper garment, or the top part, and then there's the lower part here. I don't know how well you can see that. Let's take a look at it. Now, this is not exactly going to get you into GQ, Gentlemen's Quarterly, but hey, we're not here for that. We're here for Allah. That's what it's all about, to do the rituals that go along with the pilgrimage established even at the time of Ibrahim. Let's go get back in the seats because it's time to get started now. We'll start our descent and be landing in Jeddah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Well, that's it. That was the Umrah. We got to do Umrah now. And it's okay for us now to come out of the Ihram. One of the last things that we had to do was to cut the hair. And we did that. And it doesn't look like it on me because I have such long hair, but we were, as you know, just removed about that much. And this is all that's required. You cut the hair. You don't have to shave it. But especially when you do Umrah, because if you shaved it, then whenever you do your Hajj, what would you have? You know, your hair's all gone. So I like to cut it in the Umrah about like this. And then when we do Hajj, which will be a little later on, we'll be going back into Ihram, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's do this now. We'll go and I'll get out of the Ihram, finish up everything, and we'll get a surprise for you. Watch this. We'll change and be right out. Can't go in here. Alhamdulillah, that didn't take long, did it? So this is now the first stage of Hajj Tamattu, or the Hajj which has pleasure in it, from the word muta, which is pleasure. Now, this stage, we're back now in our street garb, and we'll be able to relax and enjoy and do the things that we would ordinarily do on a day-to-day basis, with a few limited exceptions, but for the most part, this completes stage one. We've done our Umrah. Now, when we go back into the Ihram again and put the towels back on us, then we'll go and begin the Hajj. And we'll be talking about that more later, but that gives you an idea of going in and out of the first stages of Ihram for Hajj Tamattu. Got a surprise for you coming up. Watch this.
The Kaaba here in the sanctuary, or what's called the Haram in Mecca, has long been a focus of the point of worship for the Muslims. This is the place we turn to 5 times a day to perform our ritual worship called As-Salat, or prayer.
And for those that maybe are not familiar with this, the people you see going around there, that's called a tawaf. That's the tawaf, or the circumambulation of the Kaaba, associated with the visit to Mecca, when you come here to Mecca, to the sanctuary, and you perform this in any circumstance, but especially when you come for the Umrah, the lesser pilgrimage, or the Hajj, which is the main pilgrimage of Islam. And these people are going to each one go around there 7 times. Now you can go around it on the floor, as you see what's called the tawaf floor, or in the upper levels you see people going around there too, even on the very top of the building. All of it counts the same, and it's a little easier on the top, but it's a lot longer distance. Let's give you a little idea, the feel of what it's like to go around the Kaaba and do what the prophets all did. Because all of the prophets of Islam did this, going around the Kaaba 7 times like that. Now the talbiya, or the saying of labbaik Allahumma labbaik, this is something very special, that when someone has come here to perform their Hajj, they're saying, here I am, O my Lord, here I am, because they're answering the call. They've been called as Muslims to come here and do these events, these rituals associated with the worship, based on the teachings all the way back of Abraham and Moses, David, Solomon, Jesus Christ, peace be upon all of them, and of course Muhammad, who came to restore back to the Muslims what the real religion was about. And when they say, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, they're basically saying, here I am, O my Lord, here I am. Labbaik Allah sharika lak labbaik. And it says, here I am, and you have no partners. Here I am. So this begins the essence and the intention toward performing this pilgrimage. We'll have more of that. It's going to be coming up. But we wanted you to get a feel for this. This coming into the Haram and going around the Kaaba.
We're looking at, in the background, what's called the Mountain of Light, or Jabal Nur. This is the same place, this odd-looking, pointed top of a mountain that you see right there. This is the exact place where the revelation of the Quran came down on Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. And this is the same place, the cave of Hira is there. And that's where the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was when the angel Gabriel came to him. The angel came in the night as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was worshiping Allah. He was fasting, by the way, during the daytime, and he was praying all through the night. And now the angel came to him. And when the angel came to him, it startled him. And the angel commanded him in the Arabic language, Iqra. He responded back to him, La anabikari. The command was, recite. The reply, I'm not a reciter. Again, the angel grabbed him, grasped him close to him, and then released him, and he said to him again, Iqra, recite. And he replied back to him, "Anaomi, I'm illiterate. I don't know how to read or write," is what he meant. And then again, the angel grasped him close to him and released him and said, that was the beginning of revelation of the Quran. For the next 23 years, piece by piece, little by little, the Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad as his life and the lives of those around him were affected by many different circumstances. The Quran came to give them the meaning behind what they were living through and how to deal with all different types of situations. This is the beginning of the revelation of Al-Quran al-Kareem, right here at Jabal Nur, the Mountain of Light. And by the way, this is just a little bit north, outside of the city called Mecca. Now, in the Bible, it was called Baqa. It's also called Baqa in the Quran. Through different pronunciations, people began to call it Mecca.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of The Dean Show. And back by popular demand, you suggested to have him back again. You're always excited when we have him here on The Dean Show. And we're going to be talking about the fifth pillar of Islam, Hajj, with Sheikh Yusuf Estes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, Sheikh.
It's great to be here with you, Eddie. I love to be on the Dean Show, but especially in a case like this for Hajj. We're here in Mecca, as you know, and you and I both are here for that purpose, to do our Hajj. And it's also a bonus that we can make a program for the Dean Show out of our Hajj while we're doing it.
Yes, it's always exciting to have you here on the show. And when you look down, if the people can see black, white, yellow, red, and there was pink people, they'll be down there worshiping one God. And we want to talk about some of the misconceptions, because the Dean Show is here to help clear those misconceptions and make the path to Islam easy for them. Tell us about the Hajj and how this all started.
Well, first of all, one of the things that people ask is about, what is the origin of the ritual itself? Where did it come from? Is this something that was invented by Muhammad, peace be upon him, or is it something that came from the pagan? Is it original, what do they call it, a ritual from some kind of pagan worship and that kind of thing? What we'd like to stress, first and foremost, is that for all of our viewers everywhere, that Islam is based on the worship of one God. Let me tell you what Allah said about it in the Quran when he said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He's telling us that he only created us to worship. So our worship has to be for him alone. And this is very key. And this is what we're going to be talking about in the program.
Now, you've probably heard a lot of nonsense, things that people have made up, misconceptions,
yeah.
Intentional, unintentional.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you give us some of the top 4 or 5 misconceptions that people have about what we do here in Mecca?
Well, yeah, what we can do is, to begin with, is to talk about the oneness of Allah. And in this, when we begin to talk about monotheism or oneness in Islam, Allah is telling us that he only created us for worship. As we said, he says, "Wa ma khalaqtul jinna wal insa liya'budun." We're only created for worship to start with, worship of him rather than worship of multiplicity of gods, or worshiping something that you can create with your own hands, and you know, a rock, a stick, a stone, a bone, statues and things, idols that people make, good luck charms. All these things are not what Islam is all about. So when somebody tries to associate Islam with false worship of these pagan gods and so on, this is a big mistake. But now, to be fair, a lot of people are ignorant and they don't know, and they assume things from what they might observe, from what some people might do. And this is one of the best cases for us to come here, to be in the center of the whole thing, the, as you say, the heart of the matter. And that's for Hajj, right there, right? That place right there, that Kaaba, is on the same spot, according to the Israeliyat, the stories of in the children of Israel. That's the spot where Adam put his head when he asked Allah to forgive him for eating the fruit that he was forbidden to eat. This is the very place, according to that narrative. Now, in Islam, we know that for sure it is the exact spot that the Kaaba was built on in the very beginning. And that was erected by Abraham, who is the great, 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 great grandfather, way back, a bunch of greats in there, of Prophet Muhammad himself, by way of Ismail, which was pronounced Ismail in the Arabic language. Now, Ismail, the son of Abraham, peace be upon them, was left here in the desert along with his mother by Abraham by a divine command or dream that came to the prophet Abraham. That's the very spot right there where it happened. Now, they were left there, and after food and water was all gone, when it was exhausted, then they had nothing left. So his mother went up on one hill called As-Saffa. She went on top of it and looked, trying to find anything she could, you know, help or maybe water or something. And then she went down to the valley and then up on the other side on Al-Marwa. Between Safa and Marwa, these two places, she ran back and forth, looking, looking. And she went back seven times between these two mountains and finding nothing at all. She really turned into Allah and asking Allah, help us, help us. And then Allah caused water to come up out of the ground. The angel Gabriel came down, and then water came up out of the ground. It kept coming up and coming up in the desert. And this water was coming up so rapidly and so fast that it was really a miracle. There was no mistaking what it was. And that water still comes up even until today. This is called the Well of Zamzam. And the Zamzam is one of the representatives of this great event. Now, we don't worship the mountains. And we don't worship the well, and we don't worship the water. But we worship the one who created all of it to begin with. And we worship the one who brings us water when there's nothing there to bring water out of. And still today, that water is running like this. It's a miracle. This whole entire city is making it off of this water, the well of Zamzam. You'd be surprised at how much water can be pumped out of there, and it just never dries up. It's amazing.
Amazing. Tell us, do you know of any other event that brings together this many amount of people in the world from all different places all over the globe, white, yellow, brown, red, you know, anywhere? And tell us, what are some of the things that when someone comes down here, what do they do?
Well, even the Olympics in Beijing, okay, even in that, you'd be surprised that there were a lot of people. But nothing on the magnitude of what we have here during the Hajj. Because literally millions of people are converging on a place that normally only inhabitants here are just a few, maybe less than 100,000 or something that. But now all of a sudden you've got 3 million, 4 million, sometimes even up to 5 million people all gathering together at the same time. Not only in the same city, but in the same place to do the same thing. Now, you might imagine that this could be chaos, and it would be if it weren't for the very clear rituals, the way it's been spelled out by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, what needs to be done at what time, and where you're supposed to go, and what you're supposed to do. And everybody basically falls into sync, locking together and moving together and doing the things they're supposed to do. Now, if somebody makes a mistake and goes the wrong way, it's a problem for them, that's for sure. But for the most part, it goes very, very smooth. Of course, you have the people here of Saudi who have been for years and centuries really taking care of the pilgrims when they come, and it's their responsibility really to be sure everything is facilitated, and they do. They do an excellent job to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, when they're supposed to do it, the way they're supposed to do it. And one of the things that people come up to us and they'll ask us about was, these rituals, do you guys like change them over the years? Because some other religions, they will change their rituals according to the modern times, as you might say, or according to the traditions of the people changing. So they want to change their religion to go with it. But that's not the case here. It always stays exactly the same. It's the same place, the same time of the lunar year, and in the same way. And the revival of bringing this back to the way of Abraham actually was Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now, you asked about some of the innovations or the ideas that people have, thinking that this is just something made up from pagan religions and things like that. In fact, they have a good cause to say what they say, because pagans did go around this Kaaba, and pagans did invent false worship. But it was after Abraham. They were children of Ishmael and descendants of them, and they got away from the true religion, and they began innovating and doing some strange things along with these rituals, and really confused a lot of people. Some historians and archaeologists who have mixed the two together have not understood that what Abraham came with, and never anything different, was the worship of one God. In the Bible, you find it saying that this is the God of Abraham, the God of David, the God of Solomon, the God of Ishmael and Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Job, the God of Jonah, and certainly the God of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and peace be upon all of them. So this one God is the same one worshipped, and it was always in the same way. And this is the place where every single prophet came and performed this circumambulation, going around and doing a tawaf right here at this place.
A couple more points, Sheikh, before we come to an end, and then we're going to take them over, our viewers, to see a little more of the details with you explaining it. We talked to the non-Muslims now, our brothers in humanity, who we're trying to clear these misconceptions for, so yes, they can end up being our brothers in faith, okay, accepting there's only one God, mm-hmm, Muhammad is his messenger.
Okay.
Tell us now for the Muslims, who should be here at Hajj, but they're making pilgrimage somewhere else, Florida, the Bahamas, and they're procrastinating. What advice do you have, Sheikh?
Well, first of all, it is a commandment. It's a commandment in Islam that we must perform the Hajj. Allah says it in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Whenever he says this statement, all you who believe, it's a commandment and we have to do it. We mustn't treat this lightly, because it could put you out of the faith of Islam. When Allah says for you to perform the Hajj on the way of Abraham and his son Ishmael, which is being restored to you now by Muhammad, revelation coming to him from God, and showing us and telling us exactly how to do it, where to do it, when to do it, and it's clear. So this is not an option for us. It is the fifth pillar of the five pillars of Islam. So as soon as you're able to find your way to do it, as soon as you have the money, as soon as you have your bills taken care of properly, somebody to take care of your family, you must do this. It's not an option. You can't put it off till next year or the year after. Oh, I want to save up for this, I want to save up for that. No, you have to do it as soon as you can do it. And then you'll be blessed by Allah for this. You will be highly blessed, and Allah will take care of your family. Allah will take care of your money and the matters that you're worried about. In fact, everybody who comes back from Hajj, the only regret they will say is, I wish I would have done it sooner. I wish I could do it more often. Nobody comes back going, oh, that's a lame thing, I wish I didn't do it. Or never, I ever heard this. Out of the millions and millions of people who did the Hajj, they always come back saying, Alhamdulillah, I did my Hajj. Alhamdulillah, this is a great way to get close to Allah. Alhamdulillah, I learned more about my religion, my deen. Alhamdulillah, Allah's blessing me. All my problems became solved when I got home. This is the one thing that you should really look for as a salvation here on earth, is to do this Hajj. It is a great and wonderful thing. I know personally, I've done the Hajj many times, and every time, alhamdulillah, I came back home and found things to be much better than when I left. And I found in myself much better immediately from doing this Hajj. So this is all good for us. And when people see the features of the Hajj and understand it, and then they realize the benefits that go with it, they can only say that it's an advantage to me, really, to do this thing. I need to do it as soon as I can. Now, as far as some of the criticism that we find, people saying all this and that about, they don't know Islam. We're talking about the non-Muslims now. And they look and they say, well, why do you worship this black box? Why do you have to go there? Because doesn't God know where I'm at? Doesn't he know what's in my heart? The answer is absolutely. He knows where you are, he knows what's in your heart, and he knows you're procrastinating and not doing what he told you to do. And that's also important to understand. Our salat five times a day must be on time. Our fasting of Ramadan is not an option. And our giving the charity, or the zakat as it's called, the purification of wealth, this is something imperative. We must do this. And certainly that we would do the Hajj, the pilgrimage here to the Bayt or the House of Allah. And alhamdulillah, this is something so beautiful when you see the true way of Abraham and his followers up into Muhammad, his descendant, peace be upon all of them. And you realize that I'm getting to do this. I'm a part of this. I'm a part of this great brotherhood of human beings coming together for the worship of the one God in the way it was commanded to be. I can't imagine anything better than this. I really can't.
Worship one God.
That's it.
Not his creation.
That's it.
That's a simple message.
That's the same message.
Make the prayer. Fast during the month of Ramadan. Pay the charity. Come to Hajj.
Make your Hajj. Make your pilgrimage.
That's the simple system. And then what's the reward?
The reward is by following this deen, this way of life, is nothing less than paradise for all the believers. And coming back from Hajj, when you come back from your Hajj, all your sins are forgiven. You're like newborn, like you just came from your mother. It is the real salvation in this life. If you want to really know about salvation, do your Hajj and feel what it's like to come back knowing Allah forgave you of every single sin since day one. It's gone. It's wiped clean, and now you're good with your Lord. You get a fresh start. And then on the Day of Judgment, this is something good for you. And certainly in the next life, to be there with the believers and be close to the prophets. What more could you ask for?
Indeed, he is the most merciful, the most loving, the creator of the heavens and the earth. One more request. We want to see you in the Ihram. We want to see you go over a little more of these details. You think we can go to the next segment and you can go over
some? Certainly, yeah. What we'll do now, we've already performed our Umrah and the people have had a chance to get a taste of that. Now we'll get ready to do the Hajj. What we'll do for the Hajj is to begin the same way that we did with the Umrah, by putting on the Ihram after we've made our intention. Then we'll go on out to Mina. After we spend the night in Mina, we'll then go on out to Arafat. On Arafat, there are some things that we'll do there, as well as combining our prayers together. And we won't perform the night prayer, the evening prayer of Maghrib. Instead, after the sun goes down, we'll take off and we'll go to a place called Muzdalifah. And then in Muzdalifah, that's where we'll pray our Maghrib and our Isha, the two night prayers, together and spend the night there. We'll actually sleep right there on the ground if you like, or maybe you take a mattress with you. But anyway, we'll spend the night there. Then before the sun comes up in the morning, just before that, we'll pray what's called the Fajr, the morning prayer. And after that, we'll make our way back to Mina. Following that, we go into for the Tawaf al-Ifada and the Sa'i. We'll go back here to the Kaaba, the area you see behind me here, and perform that. We'll cut the hair. There'll be sacrifice, to sacrifice the animal for charity to give to the poor. And then we'll begin stoning the Jamarat. Those are the pillars that are out there in Mina, and certain rituals that go with that. All of this established by Abraham. Abraham and Ishmael, his son, and the great-great-grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad. This is all going to be taking place. And then when it's all over with and we're ready to wrap it up, the last thing we'll do before we leave, we've come out of our Ihram, we're ready to go, we'll do our final tawaf, this one last tawaf that we do to say farewell. The tawaf al-wada. And that'll be the farewell. And by the way, this will be the farewell from us too, because we got to get ready to go do that right now. Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah.
Stay tuned. We got more for you here on the Deen Show. We're talking about Hajj with Sheikh Yusuf Estes.
One of the things too, we notice that we see people from every part of the world, from Africa, from the Gulf, from Asia, from South Asia, from Europe, literally around the entire world. We're seeing people from everywhere all coming together for this same wonderful event, and that is to have our sins forgiven by repenting to Almighty God and following the disciplines that He set forth for us, to obeying His commands and performing our Hajj. You look out through here and you see a tremendous number of people. You look right straight out over in the center here. You see these people are actually walking, many of them walking for the last 5 or 10 miles. And there you see in the background a masjid. That's a mosque that's only used twice in a year for the two prayers that are going to be performed there.
Why are all these people gathered like this, Mr. Yusuf?
You might wonder why people would go to the trouble to pay money to take off time from work and everything to gather to be here. The reality of it is that this is something we look forward to. It's a once-in-a-lifetime occasion. And we've talked about Hajj before, and you know that this is a pillar of Islam. It's something that Muslims have to do to really fulfill their obligation to their Lord, the one who's created us, the one who has given us life, who sustains us. So it's only fitting, it's only right that we would obey His commands. And this is a command of Allah that He gave not just for Muslims today, but it's actually going way back to the Prophet Abraham. Prophet Abraham, or Ibrahim as he's called in the Arabic language, peace be upon him, alayhi salam, he was instructed by Allah in what to do in his sacrifices. And everything from even trying to sacrifice his own son to please Allah, to show how much obedience there is. Even if you don't understand something, you're still willing to obey God in it, because you know this is what He's asked you to do. And when Muslims do it, this is giving them a tremendous sense of being forgiven, being accepted, their salvation. And one of the things that we know about coming here for Hajj, the pilgrimage, is that when the person returns back home, he comes back as if he was just born from his mother. He comes back sinless, with no sin on him. All previous sins are now forgiven. He gets a new lease on life. It's a good chance for him to start over, to be the person he would like to be, to give up these bad habits, to get away from the evil and the sinful life that perhaps he was, or she was leading. But now they've got this new chance by coming back clean, and they're clean with the law. It doesn't mean that people forgive you, of course. It doesn't mean you don't have to pay your debts. But what it means is you've got a chance in front of Allah. And one of the things that our Prophet, peace be upon him, told us, that it's a very horrible person who thinks he made so many sins that Allah couldn't forgive him. Because Allah can forgive everything, as he says, except one thing. And he mentions it in chapter 4, verse 48 of the Quran, when he tells us that he does not forgive people setting up partners with him in worship. But anything less than this, he can forgive. And this is one of the greatest ways to be forgiven, is to do this, to come here for this Hajj, for this pilgrimage. And it's been going on, as we said, since the time of Abraham, and also something at the time of Moses, something at the time of David and Suleiman, something at the time of Jesus, and something at the time of Muhammad, was something called pilgrimage.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the fifth pillar of Islam, the Hajj. Allah, God Almighty, the Creator, is so merciful and loving that He gives us so many different ways to expiate, to absolve, to get rid of these many heavy sins. And this is one of those ways, the pilgrimage you just got to see, to Hajj. One returns from it sin-free like a newborn baby. He's got a fresh start to make a new beginning and live a good, wholesome life, putting Allah, God Almighty, first before anybody else. I'd like to thank our special guest, Sheikh Yusuf Estes, who helped us cover the fifth pillar of Islam, the Hajj, and all the brothers who are out there supporting and helping. Jazakallah khair. May God Almighty Allah reward you in abundance. And we got a couple more points I want to cover before we come to a close. So you know, and you leave with knowing these facts, Islam means submission and surrender to one God. Islam is not a new religion. This concept was brought by all the messengers of God. They all call the people to surrender and to submit to one God, to worship Him alone and not His creation. If you want to follow a man-made religion, if you want to follow an organized religion, organized by men or man, go right ahead. But if you want to follow a divine religion, a divine way of life, knowing that you don't have the answers to everything, you need God's help, you need His assistance, and you need His paradise. Because we got to admit, we don't know everything, and this life is not a paradise. This life will come to an end. And the system, the way of life that God has sent for you to live by, taught throughout time, is Islam, submission and surrender to one God. Second point we want to cover and let you go away knowing this fact, that the pilgrimage that you got to see to Mecca, known as Mecca, is also not something new brought by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was something established by Abraham, practiced by Moses and Jesus, and it was revived by the Prophet Muhammad, the last and final messenger sent to mankind. Just as monotheism was brought by all the messengers of God. And throughout time, man put his hands in things, made things a little convenient for himself, changed things according to his desires, added, deleted. So God sent his last and final messenger to bring things back to their pure state. So the pilgrimage to Mecca, the Hajj, was brought back to its pure state. The same way monotheism was brought back to its pure state. Now, for those of you who want to do the right thing, for those of you who want to do what God wants you to do, you're sick of following your desires, you're hitting the dead end every time, you want to do what the Creator wants you to do, because at the end, it's nothing less than paradise. Call the number below, 1-800-662-ISLAM. Remember, when somebody accepts Islam, surrender and submission to one God, he's not accepting a new religion. He's accepting the way of life practiced by all the messengers of God. You're accepting something that you were born with, something that God embedded inside of you already. And that's to worship Him alone, not His creation. It's very simple. 1-800-662-ISLAM. Be our brothers in faith. You're already our brothers in humanity. Take that extra step. There's a lot of things distracting you out there. When you flick through and you go to the next channel, you might see a half-naked lady on the screen. You might see a music video. And you know what? We got to face it. These things ain't reminding you about God, about the hereafter, about the day of judgment. This program is. So take the opportunity and seize it. Come to Islam. Take the necessary step. It's up to you. You got one life to live. What are you going to do with it? You're going to keep going and satisfying your lusts and your desires? Or you're going to live a godly life? You're going to live a life doing what God wants you to do. And I told you there's nothing less than paradise. It's a very simple formula, but you know what? We got a lot of things distracting us. That's why I've extended the invitation. Take it right now. Time's running out. I got to go. Hopefully we'll see you back next week on The Dean Show. I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice, to ease a little bit of the tension. But hopefully I got a smile out of you. And hopefully you'll be back again next week here. Same time, same channel on The Dean Show. Until next time, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.